Let's ask God to really speak to us. Let's just believe that God, who is the resurrected Savior, is with us tonight. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in our midst. We bow our hearts and minds before you. We give you praise. We give you our heart. Would you please speak to each one of us this evening? Would you please specifically touch each one of us? Give us a word from your heart, Lord. Speak, Lord God. We want to hear you. We want to receive you. We want to know you better. We want to experience you, God, in a greater way in our life. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, speak to us. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to speak about the mission of Jesus is our mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission. There's a lot of missions out there, but there is only one mission that is eternal, and that will be of great value, and that is the mission of Jesus. There are many things we can look at in this passage, but just three things I would like to share with you tonight. The first one is that, number one, is that Jesus here refused to serve Satan. Jesus refused to serve Satan. Friends, whether you like it or not, you're either serving the Lord Jesus or you're serving Satan. No matter how camouflaged, no matter how nice looking it might appear, no matter how good, no matter how religious, no matter how pure, how clean, how moral, if it's not Jesus, then it's Satan. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. Well, you've got to be serving someone. You better be serving the right one. And that one is Jesus. You see, Jesus refused to serve Satan. It says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Wow. Satan tried to stop Jesus from the very beginning. Throughout his life, from when he was born, he tried to kill him with Herod issuing the decree to kill the children. Jesus was always under attack. But here, Satan tried to get him, but Jesus refused to serve Satan. To obey, he refused, because Satan wanted to try to stop him from obeying his God-given mission to preach the good news, to be the suffering servant who would die on a cross, pay for our sins, as Isaiah 61 prophesied. Satan tried to do that, but he failed. You see, Satan tempted Jesus to obey him instead of God when he said to him, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God. Here Satan was saying, Jesus, you're hungry. You've been without food for so long. This is your number one need. This is what you need right now. Turn these stones into bread. Serve me indirectly by putting your need first. Putting the desire for food, the need for food. But Jesus refused to serve Satan even when it came to food. God was first, not food. You see, Master Chef was not in the days of Jesus. And as I just briefly looked at MasterChef because my children like to watch it. I don't have time for television, I must admit. But in between, 1 minute here, 2 minute there, I might get a little thing here or there. But I can see how people are beginning to elevate food like a little god. How food is so big for so many people that their lives are controlled by it. Jesus refused to be controlled by food. He said, what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Friends, are we controlled by food or by the word of God? By our appetites, by our pleasures, by our moods? Or are we controlled by the living God? Do we put him first or our appetites? Satan tried to tempt Jesus to serve him instead of God by offering him the kingdoms of the world. He said, all of this is yours if you will what? If you will worship me and serve me. If you'll worship me. And what is he offering you today? If you look around, Satan is still offering us the kingdoms of this world in a very nicely packaged way. He offers us fame. He offers us position. He offers us power. He offers us money. He offers us lots of things. He says, but you know what? I'll give it to you. But just give yourself to me. He doesn't come out with his big horns. He doesn't wear red. He comes in subtle ways and says, if you will just worship me, if you'll put me first, put your work first, put your fame first, put your image first, put your sports first, put your girlfriend first, put your boyfriend first. Jesus said, no way. Jesus refused to serve Satan. No matter what kingdoms you're going to make, I'm not going to do that. He says to him, you shall worship the word of God. It is written, for you shall worship God and serve him only. Worship God and serve him only. Friends, who are we worshiping today? Who are we serving today? Please don't look at it in a very simplistic way, but very honest and ask the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Where does my heart go to? Where does my time go to? Where does my resources go to? What do I dream of? What do I fantasize of? What really grabs my heart? Because that thing that grabs your heart is the thing that you give yourself the most to. And friends, we must be a people. If we're going to be a people who are on mission of Jesus, we must refuse to serve Satan. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to obey him instead of God by saying to him, throw yourself down and God will send the angels to care for you. Saying, Jesus, be independent. Do what you want. Go for it. And God will be forced to take care of you, even if that's not what he wants you to do. Be independent. And isn't the voice of Satan to us daily, be independent? Be independent of God. Be independent of your parents. Be independent of church. Be independent. Do it your way. Independence. And God somehow, you know what, it's okay if I go and commit adultery. God will understand. He'll forgive me and bring me back. It's okay if I go and do this particular sin. It's okay, God understands. Because he will take care of me. I'll tell you, we need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. Because we could easily slide so far. And sometimes many times people have not come back. It is a dangerous thing to act independently. It is a dangerous thing to reject God, to go into sin, and to do things your way instead of God's way. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. He would not act independently. He would only obey. He would only do what the Father wanted him to do. Friends, by Jesus refusing to serve Satan, he defeated him in every area of temptation. And we need to be a people who say no. We need to be a people who refuse. And if you look at the greats of the Bible, if you look at Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, when they offered the food of the world by the king, where they had to do it, and they refused. When Joseph was tempted by the seductress Potiphar's wife, it said Joseph refused continually her attempts. We must be a people, friends. friends, especially those of you young people, the world is so seductive. It's so deceptive. And you need to have backbone. You need to learn and you need to be willing to say no to the desires of this world, to the temptations of this world. You know, no matter how good, no matter how wonderful it seems, you must be a disciple of Jesus who say no. For it is written, because I know God's word. It says no, and that means no. And I tell you, when you're able to say no to the world and no to the sins of this world and to Satan and his ways, you will be able to say yes to God in a big way. And God will do amazing things in your life. But before we are able to be a people on mission, we need to be a people who know that we're fighting an enemy. For the Bible says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Against Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't you be deceived in thinking that Satan is some mythical idea. He is a powerful being. He's a deceptive being. He is the enemy of your soul, of your marriage, of your relationship, of your God. He is the enemy of all that God wants for you, friends. We fight in a real war. He is the one who wants to bring you into bondage. He is the one who wants to destroy. Jesus said, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's no, don't you dare, don't we dare muck around with this enemy, thinking he is nothing. He is an enemy, and we must recognize it. And Jesus met him head on and said, it is written, it is written, it is written, I will not serve you. Friends, if we do not obey God's word and say no, we will be caught in his very trap. And we will be bound and we will be rendered ineffective for God. We will be rendered ineffective in our lives unless we refuse to go his way, refuse to go in the way of the world and go in the way of God. We serve Satan without knowing when we walk in pride, in lust, in unforgiveness. We serve Satan when we walk in disobedience. We serve Satan when we do not really serve God. I tell you what, we serve Satan in many ways that we're not even aware of it. And we need to have discernment, and we need to have awareness, and we need to have a spiritual fill again and again by the Spirit of God, that we might be watchful and prayerful not to walk into the temptation of the enemy. Watch and pray lest you fall. Here we go. The Bible many times says to us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will flee. Jesus submitted himself to God, and the devil had to flee. No matter what you're struggling with, I want to tell you, if you're a believer, there is a power in your life. Satan cannot bind you. Satan cannot stop you if you will resist, if you will refuse. He will have to flee. Greater is he who is in you, Jesus, than he who is in the world. You have a power of God. And if you say no, he will have to go. And if you have faith in the Lord and you mean it, he cannot sit around. James says it. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Friends, it says about Jesus that when the temptations were over, it says he returned in verse 11. It says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. After saying no, 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 he returned in the power of the Spirit of God. When we're in the midst of temptation, we feel weak, we feel very vulnerable, but I say to you, in your weakness, in your vulnerability, say no in the name of Jesus. And as you say no, the Spirit of God will fill you and empower you, and you'll return with power. And you'll return with power. You will not be defeated, but you will have victory, victory in Christ. Jesus will fill you with power. The second thing I want us to look at is that not only Jesus refused to serve Satan, but Jesus chose to serve God and his mission. Jesus chose to serve God and his mission. And we look at verse 18 and 19, and you heard it read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release." Here is Jesus. He's in the synagogue. He gets out the Old Testament from Isaiah. He gets up before his own people, and he says this awesome, powerful prophecy that was made hundreds of years before he came. He reads it to them. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now that was about the Messiah. "Because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus says to them, "It is fulfilled in your hearing. It is I. I am the Messiah. This is speaking about me. I have arrived. I am the King. I am the ruler. I have come to bring peace and justice and salvation. And I have come to do the following things. Number one, to preach the good news to the poor." What did Jesus come to do, friends? Preach good news to the poor. Good news. What is the good news? The good news that Jesus preached is that he said, "Turn from your sins and follow me, and you will have eternal life." The good news is that Jesus died on the cross, and whoever believes in him truly and follows him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news. The good news is someone like me who was a sinner, a rebel, a disobedient, a rejecter. By repenting and following Jesus and trusting in his death for me, the good news is I will not go to hell, but I will have eternal life. The good news is I will not be on the judgment anymore. I am free from judgment. I've been forgiven. I've made right with God. The good news, friends, is that each one of us deserves hell and deserves to perish. The good news is that God had mercy and sent Jesus to pay the price for our salvation. That's good news. That's the good news. And Jesus came to offer you salvation, to offer you freedom, forgiveness, relationship, eternity, cleansing, a new heart, a new life, power. Many of you, I would trust that you have received this good news, that you don't get it just because you come to church. You don't get it just because your parents are Christians. You might be the daughter or son of a pastor like our children or elders or leaders here. That means nothing in terms of salvation, friends. It's a privilege to belong to a pastor's family or an elder's family or leaders in the church. But unless you repent and follow Jesus, no matter who your father or mother is, it is nothing unless you say, "Jesus, I trust in your death for me, and I will follow you." Friends, unless we do that, we will perish, the Bible says. We will perish. And friends, do not trust, no matter what if you're in the worship team, if you're in whatever team, have you given your life to Christ? Because Jesus came to preach the good news to us that we might be saved. I trust that you are saved tonight. And if you're not, then give yourself to Jesus tonight. Repent from your sin. Turn from being the Lord of your own life and make him Lord of your life. And that's when you become a new person. Jesus came to preach the good news. And he came to preach it to the poor. The poor are those who are needy, those who are desperate for God, those who admit they need God. If you do not admit you need God, you will not have God. If you do not say, "I need you, save me, please," like someone sinking in Cronulla Beach, lifting their hands for the lifesaver to come and rescue them, unless you say, "I need you to save me, Lord." That's the needy person. And I pray that each one of us will be needy for the salvation of Christ. The second thing that Jesus came to do, he says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Not only preach the gospel, but heal the brokenhearted. To bring comfort to the anguish, to those who have lost, to those in pain. You know, we are all broken. This morning I spoke about the brokenness of the two lost sons, the prodigal son and his brother. They were both lost. One was religious and one was non, but they were both lost. We're both broken. We're both far from God. Friends, we live in a broken world, and every one of us here is broken. We all have pain. We all have scars. We all have wounds. But I want to tell you, the good news is that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to heal your broken heart. And as a Christian, when you come to Jesus, he starts that process of healing your heart. But you need to continually come to him to heal you. Because our world continues to attack us, continues to dish out things toward us that breaks us. And we need to come to the one who's able to heal us. Friends, tonight I want to tell you, no matter what you're broken about, there is only one who can heal you and restore you. Jesus came to bring healing to your brokenness. Don't look anywhere else. No one can fix you. No one can heal you. Only Jesus can heal your broken heart. For he came to do that. Are you open to let him heal you tonight? Because that's what he came to do. Don't stay wounded. Don't stay broken. Friends, Jesus, if you turn to him, if you look to him, if you come to him, he will heal you. He is a healer of our wounds, of our pain. Psychologists help, counselors help, but no one can heal you except the healer. Number three, Jesus came to set free the captives and oppressed. She says, come to what? To release the captives and oppressed. Before Christ, we were all captives. We were all under the dominion of Satan. We were all bound and going to hell. I want to tell you, it was only when we trusted in Christ and followed Christ that our chains were broken, that sin was broken over our life, that the master Satan was no longer our master. And we were free from his dominion and his control and his slavery. Jesus came to set people free from the powers of darkness, from oppression, from things that capture you, that bind you. And today, how many people are oppressed by demonic spirits? How many people are addicted, are bound by addictions to pornography and drugs and alcohol and all sorts of fear and anxiety, bound by fear and anxiety? I want to tell you, Jesus came to set us free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He is the truth. As we know him in relationship, he breaks, sets the captives free. I thank God. By coming to Jesus, I experience freedom. And the thing is that I need to continually come to Jesus to keep setting me free. He's still the one who sets you free. Just because you became a Christian, a follower of Christ, it doesn't mean you no longer get bound or addicted or hit by things or oppressed by things. We need to continually remind ourselves to come to Jesus, who has come to set us free, friends. People in marriages are bound by bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. In relationships, children with their parents. I want to tell you, some of you here, I don't know you, but you probably love the Lord, but you go home and you hate your mom or you hate your dad. Friends, you need to be set free from that hatred. You need to let Jesus to change you in that area. Some of you are unforgiving. Some of you in the church are troublemakers, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you wound people, you hurt people, you reject people. You're someone that hurt people. You need to realize, man, this is not from God. This is the power that I need to be released from. This is spiritual darkness. And we need to let the Lord set us free from habits, from sinful behavior. You want to call them whatever you want to call them. But Jesus came to set us free, friends. And we need to go to him to be set free. Jesus came, it says, not only to do that, he came to give sight to the blind. He came to give sight to the blind. As I was saying this morning about the prodigal son, he says, my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. The song that we know, it says, I once was blind, but now I see. Friends, it's only in coming to Jesus that you can see. I want to tell you, the world is blind. No matter how good vision they might have, they are blind and seduced and deceived and lulled into sleep by the spirit of this world. It is when we come to Jesus truly that our eyes are open and we see who is our God and we see what life is really all about. And we see that life is more than just about the footy. It is more than just about food. That life is more than just about me. That life is not more about image and how I look, and if I've got two pimples or one. Friends, it's amazing how blind we can be. Jesus said, take the plank out of your eyes before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. We need Jesus to keep giving us sight to see. Open our eyes, Lord. Because even as believers, you know, when we come to Jesus, he opens our eyes. But we need to continually come to Jesus to keep opening our eyes to the darkness in our hearts sometimes, to our attitudes, to the sinful behavior. We need Jesus to show us the way. We need to see the way where we're at in the journey and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for where I'm at. Show me and help me to grow. Open my eyes. I want to know more. I want to see more of Jesus. I want Jesus to help me to become more like him, to open my eyes, to see him better, to know him better, to know his word, to know the truth of his word. May the Lord open our eyes more and more. But he's come to open the eyes of unbelievers. He's come to open the eyes of those who are in darkness. As Isaiah said, darkness, the people in darkness, or in Luke, have seen a great light. Jesus is the light, and people are in darkness till they see Jesus, friends. If tonight you have not yet given your life to Christ, do not be offended by what I'm going to say to you, because that's where I was. I was blind. It was only in coming to Jesus, not to the church, not being Catholic or Orthodox or Evangelical or Baptist or Pentecostal or whatever. It is only in following Jesus Christ in a real personal relationship and knowing his word that opened my eyes to see that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That he is life. And he is the one I should follow. Friend, if tonight you have not yet received Christ, you have not yet said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of, then the moment you really surrender, you're going to see Jesus opening, taking the scales off your eyes. And you begin to see how wonderful Jesus is, how loving, how forgiving, how awesome, how he can change your life. Friends, Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. Finally, the last point. So Jesus refused to serve Satan, number one. Two, Jesus chose to serve God and his mission. Number three, finally, the mission of Jesus is our mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission. Here in Luke, we see that what Jesus did is our mission. When Jesus met with his disciples before he left to heaven, what did he say to them? He gave them the great mission. He said to them, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing people, praying, you know, in other passages about healing the sick and casting out demons and doing the works of the kingdom. It was all about the mission. Jesus said, I have sent you as the Father has sent me. Go in my name. All authority has been given to me. Go in my name and fulfill the mission. Friends, the mission of Jesus is yours and mine. And we must be about our Father's business, about His mission. Friends, do not renege. Do not turn your back on the mission of Jesus. It is your mission. Are you on the mission of Jesus? Here where you are, wherever you live, wherever you work, I want to tell you, the mission of Jesus is your mission. And how do you do this mission of Jesus? By realizing that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want to tell you, if you're a believer, the Spirit of the Lord is not only upon you, He is in you, and He has given you a power far greater than you can imagine. God lives in you. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the world. Friends, if you're a believer in Jesus, the Spirit of God has given you power, has given you life to do the mission of Jesus. It's not in your strength, but the Spirit of God will work powerfully through you if you will go about doing the mission of Jesus. You don't need to be a Millard. Every one of us has the same Holy Spirit, and God will use you differently, but in a powerful way, no matter who you are, if you give yourself to Jesus and His mission. Friends, Jesus said, wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and fill you with power. I want to tell you guys that we often think we are nothing, we're weak, we can't do it. It's only for those who are rubbish. Every believer has the power of God in them. And I want to tell you, if you will just forget about spending a couple of hours on the telly and sit with God and read His Word and pour your heart out to Him, cry out to Him, get to know Him, get to love Him, let Him love you. I promise you, the Spirit of God will fill you and empower you and set you free and make you an amazing young woman, young man, older woman, and use you powerfully. God is waiting for you, for us to come and let Him fill us over and over with His Spirit. He's already anointed us when we came to Him. He has already baptized us and filled us. And we need to just keep abiding in Him and letting Him fill us over and over again and use us. And the more we let go and we go out and we step out, He fills us and empowers us. He will make amazing things and do amazing things through your life. Friends, the Spirit of God is in you. You're to be about the mission of Jesus. And that's why you can do it. And He wants you to preach the good news. He wants you to share your faith. Now, friends, don't waste your time on Pokemons. Come on, man. Don't chase Pokemons. Go and chase some lost sinners. See where they are and go, yeah, woo! Rejoice that you shared the gospel instead of found some pokey something. Man, eternity will echo because you have shared the gospel. You have touched somebody else's life. Friends, honestly, mate, I'm not some weirdo. I love the footy and I love the soccer and I love tennis and sports and everything. But I want to tell you, nothing compares to sharing the gospel and seeing people touched and changed. Seeing people just hear the gospel, even if they don't come to Jesus, just to share the gospel is awesome, is wonderful. I'm not going to waste my life on some garbage that's going to go and pass away. I want my life to count for eternity. My Jesus paid His blood to save me. And here I am, worried about my face or Pokemon or football or this or that. Man, life is more than that. Jesus is worthy of our love and our worship and our service and our witness for Him. Who shall I fear? Who am I worried about? Who cares what you think of me? I care what Jesus thinks of me. And you need to do the same. We need to do the same, friends. We need to be about on a mission. You have no excuse. The Spirit of the Lord is in you and is upon you. Go and share your faith. Go and tell your friends about Jesus. Go and tell your neighbors about Jesus. Go and tell those you work with about Jesus. Don't do it in a crazy, stupid, dumb way. Do it in a wise, godly, smart way. Amen? I'm not telling you to be stupid, okay? We know. I'm telling you, but at least open your mouth. Get out of your way. Get out of your comfort zone. Break free and begin to share about the Savior who loved you and died for you, friends. Because that is what counts in the end. Preach the gospel. Tell them about salvation. Jesus not only wants us to do that, he wants us to also heal the brokenhearted. As you preach the gospel, healing will come to the brokenhearted. As you lay hands on the sick, okay, healing might come to them. And if healing doesn't come to them, I want to tell you, I have prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people and many did not get healed. But I tell you, there is not one time that I've prayed for someone and God didn't touch them in somehow. And I want to tell you, there is power in praying for people. There is power in putting your hand and saying, can I pray for you? Putting a hand on a shoulder and blessing and praying and touching people. I promise it brings healing to broken hearts because the Spirit of God lives in you. And you need to be a people who bring healing to broken hearts by sharing with them, by hearing their stories, by loving them, by giving them Jesus. We will be able to bring healing to broken hearts. We will be able, by praying for people, by sharing the gospel, to see people set free from demonic powers, okay? From witchcraft, from whatever thing that they're into. Who's going to do that? We are the people of God. We are to be. The mission of Jesus is our mission. It's not just my mission or the pastor's mission. It is all of us. And we are the people to lay hands on people and see them set free. Declare the gospel and see them set free. God wants to use each one of us to see people set free. And he wants us to see the day of the Lord. To tell them this is the acceptable day of the Lord. Be saved. Come to him. Know him. The verse of God I've just finished with. These two verses. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. If you're a believer, this is what God says about you. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you may proclaim, you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are awesome people. The Spirit of God is in you to declare Jesus as Savior. And then in Isaiah it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Friends, even though there is darkness, if you are a child of God, walking with God, the glory of the Lord is upon you. The power of God, the light of God, the truth of God, the love of God is in you and upon you. And you are the one that are to go and shine that light, give that hope, give that life that God has given you. I pray that the Jesus mission will be your mission. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Friends, just take a few minutes just to pray. Some of you might be brokenhearted. Some of you may be oppressed by things or bound by addictions or bound by spirits, whatever the situation is. Some of you might yet have not come to Christ, have not yet submitted your life to Christ. You might come to church a lot. You might be here always. But tonight, if you've heard the word of God speaking to you, don't harden your heart. Don't deafen your heart. Respond to God tonight. Humble yourself and give yourself to God. Ask God for healing for those who need healing tonight. Say, Lord, come and heal me by your Spirit. And seek prayers as well. Seek prayers to be free from addictions or things. Pray with me tonight. Say, Lord, come. Come and heal me. Oh Lord, I surrender my life to you. Whatever your situation is tonight, surrender your life to the Lord if you have not yet given your life to Christ. Surrender tonight. Say, Lord, I give you my life. Would you pray this prayer if you've really, you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure that you're forgiven by God, if you're not sure you have eternal life, then friends, if God has spoken tonight, then just pray this prayer as just a prayer of commitment to give your life to God tonight. Say, Father God, pray it in your heart. Pray with all your heart. Father God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. I commit my life to you tonight, to follow you all the days of my life. Father, I pray for those who are hurting, that Holy Spirit, you come upon them and bring healing to their brokenness. I speak healing in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, to those with broken hearts. I speak your healing over them, Father. I pray for healing for them. Pray that they reach out to you and receive your love. Those who are bound by addictions tonight, pornography or fear or anxiety or whatever sin, I pray that in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, that you would be set free as you claim the Lord as your Savior, as you look to Christ to set you free. I pray for you in Jesus' name. Be free. Do not believe the lie that you cannot be free. Jesus sets you free as you look to Him and come to Him. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to be about your mission. Amen.